Well, I tell you what, it's hard to believe it's 2012. I don't know about you, but even with my checkbook, I don't think I'll be writing 2011 for a first couple of weeks. It always takes me a little bit to adjust to it. But here we are in 2012, and like we've already said, I believe this is going to be your best year yet. Somebody said, you don't know what I'm facing. Well, I don't care what you're facing. All I care about is what you believe. Amen. And I don't care what you're facing, if your belief system is right, what you're facing can change. We don't look at what we see. We walk by faith. We don't have our eyes set on our conditions. We have our eyes looking unto the hills where our help comes from. Amen. He can change anything about your life. Anything. I don't care what you're facing. God can change anything. In fact, even this past week on Friday, me and my wife, we decided to go get some coffee. So we drove down to the Starbucks there in Maywood Mart, and I got a pumpkin spice latte. You got to get it before it goes out of season. And so I had a pumpkin spice latte, and then we got in the car and drove over to where our new building is at downtown in Poindexter, and drove down there and just was driving through the community. And looking at what so many people would call desolate, or so many people would call helpless or hopeless. But friend, I'm telling you, the more I was driving through there and just meditating on the promises of God, the more the Lord began to speak to my heart that God has given us a tool that can change anything. He has. He's given you a tool and He's given me a tool that can change anything. I don't care what's wrong in your life. He has given you a tool that can change it. I don't care what needs to be enhanced or made better in your life. God has given you a tool that can change it, that can enhance it. I don't care how big your aspirations for this new year may be. God's given you a tool that can make all of those dreams come true. A tool that He's given us, and it is a tool that can change entire communities if it's used properly, is the tool of faith. And to start off this year, I can't think of any better way to do it than to kick it off teaching on the subject of faith and go over it line by line, precept by precept. In fact, today I want to give you four key scriptures to live your year by. If I had it my way, and I don't always get it my way, you can just ask my wife. But if I had it my way, I would make you wake up every morning and go over these four scriptures. If I had it my way, I would have you write them down somewhere where you could see them every day. If I had it my way, you would have them memorized by the end of the week. That's just if I had it my way. But friends, the more you work with something, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. And faith, it's like anything else. It's like a piano or a guitar or any other type of skill that is learned. You start off raw in it. And you can learn the basics of it, but it's not until you begin to practice it, to use the skills that you've learned, that you ever get better at it. And faith is the same way. What we're going over this morning, it's the skills. It's giving you the tools to exercise this power of faith. But friend, then you've got to do something when you leave this place. You've got to exercise it. You've got to use these skills. You've got to practice it so that your faith can be refined. If you're going to make the most out of this year, you've got to know how to lay hold of promises with the hand of faith. I've heard it through many different avenues over the course of the past weeks. But this year, many are saying, and I believe it with all of my heart, is a year of big opportunity. And with opportunity, there are two things that'll take place. If there's an opportunity to win a prize, there's someone who wins it, and then there's someone who doesn't get it. There's someone who had an extreme victory, and then there's someone who left bitterly disappointed. Friend, I'm telling you, it's God's job to provide the opportunity. And this is a season, a big opportunity. He's provided it for us. But it's your job to prepare and get ready for that opportunity. And one of the things you need to start doing now, don't push it off another day. Start it now. What better day to start? It's the first of the year. Start now exercising your faith for all the promises of God. There are promises that are in His Word that we need to claim by faith. And then there are promises that He's spoken to your heart. Dreams that He's put on your heart. Maybe you've already written them down as a New Year's resolution, but that by the end of the year, you'll have this in your life or this will be changed. Things that He's put in your heart. All of those promises He longs to bring into your life that your joy may be full. We've got to learn how to claim those promises by faith. Let's start off this new year in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. And let's look here in verse 27. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, we'd love to give one to you. Our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hand. They'll be more than glad to put a Bible in your hand. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news. Now you do. That one is yours to keep. We're going to look at a couple of core scriptures this morning. I want you to rest your eyes on them. Like I said, write them down because I want you to go back to these scriptures repeatedly this year. Matthew chapter 9, and let's look here in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus said unto them. Now notice what they were doing. They were putting all the pressure over upon the Lord. "Lord, have mercy on us." Two blind men. "Lord, have mercy on us." And watch what the Lord does. He turns it a little bit back on them. And He says unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this." This is one of our core scriptures. "Believe ye that I am able to do this." Let's stop right here and let me ask you this question. What do you believe the Lord can do for you this year? You need to think about it. You need to write the vision, make it plain. What do you believe the Lord is able to do for you this year? Jesus turned to the blind man and He said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this? What do you believe the Lord will enable you to do this year?" They said unto Him, "Yes, Lord, we believe." Verse 29. Then touched He their eyes, saying, here's our second one, "According to your faith, be it unto you." According to your faith, be it unto you. Notice, it is unto us according to our what? It is unto us in life according to our faith. It is not done according to your paycheck, according to your job, according to what you made last year. It's not according to your family experience. It's not according to your education. What happens to you in life is done to you according to your faith. If you believe it, all things are possible. Faith, your belief system, you could say, it is the limiting factor. And people so oftentimes think it's done according to me, according to what someone did to me 10 years ago. No, it's not, friend. This year will happen according to your faith. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Our first scripture. What do you believe God can do for you this year? Second key principle. It's according to your faith that it will be done unto you. This year, what is your faith set on. Let's go over to our third scripture. Go over here to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, right next door. Matthew 17 and verse 20, these are our core scriptures for the year. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Here the disciples have tried to deal with a demon-possessed man, and it didn't work out quite the way they would have wanted it to. Jesus came and delivered this man completely. They come to Jesus and say, Lord, why weren't we able to produce? Why weren't we able to see change done in this man? What happened where we couldn't do it, but you could? And Jesus answers them in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. They came and said, Lord, why aren't we producing? And Jesus said, it's because of your what? Unbelief. Something about your belief system needs to change. If I'm going to produce more, something about my belief system needs to change. Get this, friend. If you're going to produce more this year than last year, something about your belief system needs to change. If you're going to see God do more this year than last year, it's not just good enough for January 1st to dawn. That's not good enough. It's God's job to bring the opportunity, but it's your job to bring the preparation. If I'm going to see more this year than I saw last year, I've got to change something about my belief system. He said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's our third key point. When your belief system changes, when you get your faith up, when you set your faith on a particular item, a particular thing in your life that you want to be changed, nothing is impossible. When you're in faith, when you have your belief system up, I don't care what it looks like in the natural, nothing is impossible. That's principle number three. Principle number one, what do you believe God's going to do for you this year? Principle number two, it will be according to that belief. That's what will be done unto you, according to your faith. Principle number three is, I don't care how big it is or how impossible it may seem in the natural. If you're in faith, there's nothing that's impossible. Go over to Mark 11. This is our fourth and final one. We're going to look at another scripture, but these are our four for this year. Mark chapter 11, and let's look here in verse 22. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. You know the story here. Jesus has just spoken to a fig tree. It's produced marvelous results. His disciples are questioning how he did this. And he tells them to do something in verse 22. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. That's our fourth key scripture for this year. Have faith in God. I don't care what happens over in Europe. My faith is not in their economic system. My faith is not in an employer or in a job. My faith is not in a person or a place. My faith, it's in God. My faith is in God. These four scriptures. I believe, Lord, that you are able to do blank for me, whatever you're believing for. It's according to that belief, Lord, that it will be done unto me. I don't care how impossible it seems. See, that third one's it's important because the enemy, he's one to throw obstacles at you that will make it seem as if the thing that you're believing for will never happen. And that's where you come back with principle number three and say, no, I don't care how impossible it seems in the natural. I don't care what's going on in the natural. It's not done according to what's going on here. It's done according to my belief, according to my faith. And with this belief, nothing's impossible. Nothing is impossible. Well, but all this is breaking down. I don't care. Principle number four, my faith's not in that. My faith is in God. Jesus turned to his disciples. They were saying, how was this done? And he said, boys, have faith in God. God is wanting to do some amazing things. You know, I don't know all the ins and outs of what God has for us this year or for the next 10 years. But I honestly believe that as dark as the world gets, and I was reading even in the paper the other day that there are more people in America saying that they don't believe in God than almost ever before, and all of these other types of things. The darker it gets out in the world, the brighter the church is supposed to get. To show the world the way. And friend, I am telling you, I believe that God wants to do some serious things for you and I, some serious things for his children, for his body. But in order for him to do these things, we have to get our faith up. We have to exercise this principle called faith and lay hold on all of these big opportunities. We've got to get our faith up. According to our faith, it's done unto us. Friend, God is a God of promotion. He is a God of promotion. The book of Psalms says that promotion doesn't come from the east or west. Promotion comes from the Lord. It's God who can lift people up. And even while I was meditating this week, and I've had the week just to sit back and think about this new year that was upcoming, a phrase kept coming in my heart. And it's a phrase that I heard a preacher preach a little over a year ago. And all the phrase is God will lift you up. God will lift you up. And that was the entire theme of the CD. He must have said it 100 times. The Lord will lift you up. God will lift you up. The Lord will lift you up. And friends, I'm telling you, God is a God of lifting. No matter what level of living you're living on now, the Lord can lift you up. No matter where you find your life at now, the Lord will lift you up. At the same time I was listening to this CD, we had a pastor vacancy in our church here. The youth pastor who was over at my sister was moving over into the preschool nursery department. And that position over in youth came open. And I was praying about who to use and who to put in that position and interviewed and called a lot of different places all over to find people who may be qualified to step in that position. And had a lot of people who were interested in it. A lot of even people from Bible schools that were just graduating, as well as other youth pastors from other churches who wanted the position. But my heart couldn't settle on any of them. And one day I was praying and just seeking the Lord about that position. And a gentleman who was in our church came up in my heart. And I had thought previously about hiring this individual because the Lord had put him on my heart for some time. But I didn't think it would ever be in that particular position. And anyway, the more I prayed, the more peace I got on it. And the more liberty I got on it. And at the time, he was working over at the Nissan plant. And I can remember when I first met him years ago, and we went out to lunch. And his main thing that his faith was set on was to get on the day shift. he was working the night shift. And you know, when your wife, she's working in the days and you're working at night, that can be a tough thing. But that's what his faith was set on. And I can remember him asking me that to get in faith and agree with him that the Lord would take him from the night shift to the day shift. And sure enough, friend, the Lord lifted him up. He lifted him from the night shift to the day shift. And it didn't happen in a week or two, but it did happen. The Lord lifted him up. And I want to stop right here and say, if that's all you're believing for this year, that's awesome. You got to start where you're at. Start on that level. But the Lord lifted him from that place. He'll lift you no matter where you're at in life. But here he is, he's working the day shift and things are going great. But the Lord dropped on his heart that there was something in ministry he was called to. He had never gone to seminary. He had never gone to any type of Bible training center or anything like that. He had never had any type of training, never preached a message before, but just felt called to ministry. Friend, this is how God works. God's a God of visions and dreams. And when you're in prayer, he'll sow those seeds into your heart. He'll sow those desires into your heart. When the Bible talks about God giving you the desires of your heart, he's not just talking about God taking the desires that are in you and manufacturing those things in your life. He's talking about that God will give you the very desires in your heart. That God will drop desires in you. That's what happened to him, and he began seeing himself minister in different places. And then guess what? He got a hold of the same CD I was listening to, that the Lord can lift you up. That no matter where you're at in life right now, the Lord can lift you up. And he didn't know how it would happen or when it would happen. He just knew, I'm called to ministry. And one day he was at work, working the day shift, and I called up his cell phone, couldn't get him, and just left him a voicemail and said, hey, when you get off work, I'd like you to call me about something. I always end with this, it's not bad, because so many times when people think their pastor's calling them, that something's wrong. You know, even when people, I tell them, hey, come in my office and see me. You can see this nervous anticipation that, you know, something bad is about to happen. And so I'll always end with, it's not a bad thing, it's good, come on back. Call me. Don't, you know, not return my call for 5 days. So I left him with that. You know, it's a good thing. Give me a call. And I can remember he got in his car leaving work and I called him up and said, hey, we need to get dinner sometime. I just have it on my heart to offer you a position here on staff and want to see if this is something you're interested in. And you could just hear the silence and the sheer joy on the other end of the line. And I can remember having dinner with him at P.F. Chang's. He was so nervous, he ordered shrimp. And at the end of the meal, he said, this is the best chicken I ever had. True story. True story. So nervous. But this is an individual, friends, who in the natural, no one would have said, hey, this is someone who should take over a youth department of this size church. But the Lord did it. I said, the Lord lifted him up. The Lord lifted him up. The Lord did it. And friends, you may be in a place right now where maybe it's like where he was. It's a good place. But you know, there's something more. The Lord can lift you up. He can lift you up. This year, it's a year of lifting. The Lord can lift you up, but you got to do what he did. You got to believe it. You got to believe, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know why he would pick me, but I know the Lord can lift me up. Or maybe you're in a different place. Maybe you're in a place right now where you're sitting in the ashes of last year. That you're not in a place of answered prayer, just believing for the next level. But maybe you're in a place where it looks like that what you are believing for is not happening. This happens a lot in the Bible. You see it take place. In fact, the Bible has a certain name for it. It characterizes it in a certain way. See, God is a God of lifting. And if you read Genesis through Revelation, you see God come into the lives of individuals and lift them from the place where they are at to a new level. All the way starting back with Noah or Abraham or Isaac or Joseph, lifting him out of prison into the king's court. You could go all throughout and see the stories with Ruth, with Esther, of how God came in the lives of these women and lifted them up. See, God wants it for all of his people, and perhaps no greater example of this is the children of Israel. Here they are in a land of bondage. They don't even own themselves. They're being abused on every front. And in this despair underneath Pharaoh's rule, they cry out unto the Lord and say, Lord, save us. And God raises up a man, a deliverer, to come and set God's people free. And you know the story. Moses comes and he tells them, not only are you going to be set free, but the Lord's going to take you into a land that flows with milk and honey. He's going to take you into a land of absolutely more than enough. They get excited about it. Oh, they're excited. And sure enough, God supernaturally comes in and lifts them up from that place of bondage. They start walking in the wilderness, a land of just enough. The land that they were in before was not enough, but now they're in just enough, and God's meeting every one of their needs. No abundance, but their needs are met. But this is still not God's best. He wants them lifted from that place into the land of more than enough, the promised land. God's a God of lifting. But something happened to them. Something happened to them. They encountered situations. They encountered things that weakened and discouraged their heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 28, you see this dealt with. Joshua comes and says, hey guys, don't let your heart be discouraged. Because of what they face, the enemies, the lack of water sometimes, the same food every day, their heart began to get discouraged. But they were still holding on to the vision until they got right up to the promised land. They got right up to it. I mean, they were there. They sent spies in. You know the story. 10 spies came back and said, the land it's everything God said it was. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. But there are giants in the land. There are walled cities in the land. And we just aren't able to do it. They never did catch that it wasn't about them. It wasn't about what they were able to do. They weren't able to split a Red Sea. They weren't able to make water come from a rock. They weren't able to rain manna down every day to feed them. They weren't able to make their shoes never get holes in them, their clothes to stay perfectly pure and steady. They weren't able to do that. But they never did catch that it's not about what we're able to do. It's about what God is able to do. They never did bridge that gap. And when they heard that report, we're not able. Friend, let me tell you this. It matters who you're around this year. It matters what they speak into your heart. If you hear more doubt and unbelief than you do faith, it will keep you from God's big opportunities. And here they were. They heard that negative report. 10 spies saying, you're not able. 2 spies rose up and said, but we are well able. God is for us. What are they compared to us? We've got God on our side. But because they heard more doubt and unbelief, they chose to do that. And the book of Joshua chapter 14, it said their heart melted. Their heart melted. I preached a sermon years ago. It was called, I guess about 2 years ago. It was called Symptoms of a Melted Heart. I gave 6 points on what a melted heart looks like. Don't have time to go all over those 6 points, but basically it goes something like this. that your former passions are now nothing but a memory. And before you were excited, God's doing some amazing things. I mean, the children of Israel, they heard that report way back in Egypt. God's going to take us to a promised land. The Red Sea was split. They're all rejoicing. They're singing. They're dancing. They've got passion in their heart. They're excited about what God is doing. But after their heart melted, that was nothing but a memory. Another symptom of the melted heart is to be content with where you're at. Being content in, well, it's good enough. You know, my marriage, it's not all that I know it could be, but it's good enough. I know I'm not making all that I could, but you know, it's good enough. They stayed in that wilderness. Well, I know that, you know, this could change, but where we're at, it's good enough. They stayed in that place. That's a symptom of a melted heart. Staying where it's just good enough and not reaching for more. Another symptom of the melted heart is basing God's promises off the conditions that you see. Before their heart was melted, it didn't matter about the conditions. They got a promise from God, but when the conditions changed, they started basing God's promise off the condition and said, I know He promised us this, but we're just not able. Symptoms of a melted heart. And friend, these people, they lived a life of being bitterly disappointed. Of dwelling right outside of the promised land, dwelling right outside of more than enough in just enough. Don't let that be you. Maybe you're in a place right now where your heart is melted and everyone's talking about New Year's resolutions and how great of a year it's going to be, but in your heart it just, you're not excited. You've got to get that fire back. You've got to get that confidence back. You've got to get your faith back up. Somebody said, you don't know what I'm facing. Once again, it's not about you. It's according to your faith in God. You don't have to have all the faith in the world and in everything that's around you. It's having faith in God, that God can lift you from the place that you're at to another. I can remember even this past year at the start of the year, my mother was living in Cheyenne pastoring a church with her husband. And she had had her heart set on for a number of years when she moved up there to find a southern style home that was like the one that she had here in the south. And when you're in Cheyenne, Wyoming, there's not too much of anything that's southern up there. So she would constantly look out for homes, and she had her heart set on one. Got in faith for it, set her faith on it. But her house just never seemed to sell. It just never quite seemed to move. And her heart melted. And she gave up on that passion. And now it was nothing but a memory. She took her house off the market. And with that, here the house is, it's sitting there. You know, it's good enough. But before there was a passion in her heart that there's more out there. Well, one day she was praying, and the Lord put that desire back in her heart that there is more out there. And before she could even do anything, she got a phone call from someone who wanted to place an offer on her house when it wasn't even for sale. It was an awesome thing, and she was so fired up about it. But then you know what? You know what happened? The enemy, he works in a lot of different ways, but remember what he's after. He's after your faith. If he can get your faith, he can do anything to you. It's according to your belief system, according to your faith that it's done unto you. He attacked that faith, and how he attacks it is with tests and trials, according to James chapter 1. And that's why you got to count it all joy when your faith enters into a trial. And sure enough, these people let them on for a good month, but never were able to produce the money. Finally, they backed out of the sale. God, what's going on? Here she is in faith, but it looks like it's not working. Then one day I get a phone call from someone. They say, I want to talk to you. We've got a job position that's open over in Tennessee in Savannah. And so I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not interested in moving. But they said, well, do you know anyone? And so I started putting out feelers and thought, you know, what's going on here? I couldn't get any kind of feedback back from anyone who'd be interested in the position. And with that, I never will forget it. I called my stepfather, Marcus, and I called him up and said, hey, there's a position down here, and I don't know if you know of anyone who's interested. And then I get a phone call from him next day saying he put his application in. And just through a whole framework of different things happening and God setting up things, sure enough, they got the job position. And then not only that, guess what? Well, if you're going to move all the way from Wyoming to Tennessee, you need your house to sell. They sold their house in 2 weeks. See, God lifted them up. God lifted them up. And I can remember going up there for the first time to see him. And I drove up on this church and just seeing the facility that was built there called Faith Point Church and seeing the people that were there, just amazed to see it, what God brought them into. And then I can remember following them to their home where that they had just bought. And my wife was with me with our kids. And as we were driving, she pointed to a house and said, wouldn't it be awesome if they lived there? And sure enough, we pulled into that driveway. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. The Lord lifted them up. But the key to the whole thing is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. You cannot let go of the confidence of your faith. There is a reward that comes with it, but you've got to hold fast to your confidence of faith, knowing that God is faithful and everything He has promised you, He will surely do unto you. Friend, the Lord will lift you up if you get your faith up. How do you get your faith up? Go over these scriptures that we gave you earlier. Meditate in them. Build them into your subconscious mind. Know them like you know the back of your hand. If you don't know the back of your hand, study it before you leave here. And then know the scriptures like you know the back of your hand. Get them in you and know that God will do everything He said He would do. It's according to your faith that it's done unto you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray.